I'm Andrew G, and this is Showtime. Potted Potter is a critically acclaimed parody stage show that condenses all seven Harry Potter books into one 70-minute show. It features comedic reenactments, audience participation, and incredibly funny interpretations of that famous wizarding world. Potted Potter has toured the world and has just started its fifth tour of Australia. It stars Scott Hostren and Brendan Murphy, who join me for a chat today. Scott and Brendan, welcome. Hey.
Hello, thanks for having us.
So, Potted Potter, you've done this once or twice before. You're in Canberra at the moment. You're about to tour all over Australia. Potted Potter, tell me, what's it about?
Scott, well, it's a very, distilling it down to its purest sense, is that we tell all seven Harry Potter books in 70 hilarious minutes. So whether you are, you know, everything, or you think you know everything about Harry Potter, or you know nothing about Harry Potter, you will be an expert at the end of this. A comedy expert.
Yeah, it really is essentially two idiots retelling the whole seven books, the eight films, all condensed into like their fast-paced version of it. And I think it's got a lot of the sort of classic double act. Slapstick comedy, there's a lot of wordplay, there's a lot of just things going wrong on stage, and there's audience interaction. It's just a fun sort of family-friendly day out.
Yeah. And isn't it so cool that after the success of the movies, they made books?
Yeah, I know, it's an interesting approach.
I'm glad that they
do you know how many people don't actually appreciate that there were books first? I love that.
That's it. Well, there's so many different ways to enjoy the Harry Potter world. I mean, there's the computer games as well. There's like the audio books, the Stephen Fry narrated ones. I mean, there really are so many different ways for people to get into it. And I think like our show is
the best.
You were saying that this is for people that don't necessarily know about the books or the movie.
Yeah, right? Definitely. I think that like the majority of people that want to come and, you know, book tickets will already be Harry Potter fans, or at least sort of Harry Potter adjacent, Harry Potter aware. But I think when the show was being made, they were sort of quite keen to keep it open and accessible to the mums and dads of kids that might have it, or the partners of Harry Potter fans, or indeed the kids of Harry Potter fans.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, now goes over at least three generations of fans. So even if you don't know what it's about, you should still be able to enjoy the show.
And you've both performed in Potted Potter here in Australia, but elsewhere. Do different audiences in different countries react differently to the show?
Aussie audiences are brilliant. They're very vocal, and we love that. We play a lot with the audience in the show. So from the get-go, I mean, even last night, they're sort of whooping and cheering and a lot of laughing, which is it's like addictive for us.
Yeah.
And we'll play with, the louder the audience is, the more we'll play with them. Some audiences are just a bit more culturally quiet and save it all up until the end when they start to go, yeah! And you're like, oh, you enjoyed it. Great, I'm glad you did. But yeah, Aussie audiences and American audiences are good fun as well.
Yeah.
So our Texas crowd's quite wild. Nice to play for.
It must be so exciting to get that audience participation, to get that immediate feedback that, of course, JK never got with the books, and obviously the original cast never got with that movie, but you get that instant gratification, you get that feedback.
Absolutely. It's so good. I think even just walking out onto the stage at the start, because you know that the audience already have something in common. You know, they've got this uniting fandom. And you can see it because people are talking to each other. There's kind of excited buzz in the auditorium. People turn up like wearing their Harry Potter merch. Some people turn up like in cosplay.
Full costume.
Like dressed up in like as their favorite characters. It's really like almost like a sort of convention style environment.
There was one time where Brendan does at one point play Dumbledore, you know, the revered Professor Dumbledore. And there was one point where there was a guy in the front row that had a better costume than Brendan.
I mean, my costume isn't great.
What do you think it is that makes this collection of stories, this world, so loved by so many people, and as you said, now over so many generations?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean,
it's a sort of classic good versus evil tale, essentially. But yeah. I wonder, I don't know, it's an interesting question. I wonder if it's now about that so many people accessed it as youngsters, and I know myself, stuff that I accessed as a youngster, you sort of carry that with you, and then there's new mums and dads passing it on to like their kids, and that distills that kind of like, oh, I love this story.
Yeah, I think there's also definitely something appealing about a sort of coming of age story in whatever sort of form, and about relying on friendship and taking your power from the people that you choose to have around you, especially in times of like adversity. And that's kind of what their little gang is all about. You know, these in like the first book, what, they're 11 years old and they're fighting the greatest evil known to man or wizard. And also that idea that you don't necessarily need authority to tell you that you can do a thing, to go ahead and do it. And yeah, just sort of, like you say, sort of going up against insane odds, but also having the power there to do it. Also like dragons and magic and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Dragons and magic and stuff. How could you possibly go wrong? you were saying that there's audience participation. So do you look for the person that is trying really hard not to make eye contact and pick them?
Well, the audience participation, I mean, there's loads of it throughout the show, but there's a moment where we play Quidditch, and some lucky Quidditch players get to come on stage, and it is Brendan that eyes them. So I don't know, what is your trick?
I don't know, man. It changes from day to day. Like sometimes if someone looks pretty excited, then I might choose the person right next to them. Just be like, sorry, buddy, not your day. Can't always get you. there's a lot of excited adults that want to come up on stage, certainly during Quidditch. I try to give kids the chance. But sometimes there's just an adult who really wants to come on stage, and I think fair enough. Let's make their day.
Ever had any fights in the audience of people that thought you were pointing to them and there was a misunderstanding?
Yeah,
you got all
like
weird?
More than...
Wow.
And, you know, when you've picked... When you're like, oh, we just need someone to come up and help us. And then, like, a kid's really excited and you pick them. And then two other kids behind them also get out. And I'm like, no! We've got to send some of these back. We can't have this many children on stage. And there's disappointment, there's tears, there's no.
So he's making kids cry part of the act.
It's all right. I've got a little bag of like magic chocolate to placate any trouble. Harry Potter's chocolate frogs at the ready. Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing someone in the audience has said to you? Either as a heckle or when you're trying to engage with them as part of the audience participation, I imagine you get some pretty weird comments and questions.
There must be, I mean, I'm trying to think what some of the kids might have said on stage, the Seekers, but...
Oh, yeah, well, I mean...
If there's a really...
I mean, clearly nothing too terrible. We've sort of, the show has evolved over the time that we've been doing it. And there was a point where we'd get, we did a run in Las Vegas, and the show's still on there. And it's a very different crowd because, you know, when we do tours like this, we go to cities and we do get like children, parents, grandparents all coming down. You know, some people coming out on like, you know, a group of friends, you know, sometimes university students come together. But in Las Vegas, it's like bachelor parties, bachelorettes, maybe like one family with some kids. So we have a variety of different people coming up on stage. And then like, I mean, at one point I remember you getting rugby tackled by two
fully grown men.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas.
Or like there was like a woman chased after the quaffle and she ran up on stage in the highest heels
that I've
ever seen. Wow. And she absolutely nailed it, to be fair. She didn't. Wow. Not a single trip. So, there's memorable moments, but it's not always what they're saying.
So Potted Potter isn't always the first stop on someone's night out is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently not. Yeah.
But that's the thing about it. It's a show that's really, really engaging for kids, families, and more mature age people who just want a fun night out.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it kind of leans into, I don't think they mind me saying this, I think it leans into the sort of old elements of, you know, pantomime in the UK. Do you guys have panto here at Christmas?
Yeah.
So that's sort of like, there's gags.
It's behind you.
There's gags, exactly. There's the classic gags that we all know, and there's gags for there's comedy for the sort of youngsters, and then there's some stuff for the mums and dads that should, in theory, go above the youngsters' heads. So yeah, everyone, is getting something out of it.
Yeah, and I think it's also got, it's interesting because there are like new readers and new fans coming, like, every year, you know, a new tranche of people are introduced to the show. But there's also a kind of nostalgia element to it. I mean, I read the books when I was about 10. Well, the first book came out in 97, so that's, I was 10. And, you know, now I think for me, it's different because I have a relationship as the performer in the show, but I know a lot of my friends see it as like, oh yeah, that thing that was so important to me when I was 10, 11, 12, going through that sort of same period of time that Harry is going through. So it's a throwback, you know, it's like noughties, it's like going to an indie disco.
Sounds like a lot of fun. And you're in Canberra at the moment until this weekend. Then you're off to Sydney from the 12th of April. And then you're coming here to Melbourne and playing at the Athenaeum Theatre from the 24th of April to the 5th of May before you head on to Adelaide and Perth to round out your Australian tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gosh, sounds like a lot when you say it like that, doesn't it?
It sounds like a lot. Sounds like a lot of Harry Potter. But of course, there is a lot of Harry Potter. And how do people get tickets?
Well, yes, there is a website.
PottedPotter.com.au has got all of the info on. Or if you just search Potted Potter Australian Tour, then it should all come
up. Yeah. What Brendan said.
We'll go with that. Thank you both so much, Scott and Brendan. All the very best for the tour, and I look forward to seeing you in the theatre in Melbourne.
Thanks so much.